Hey there, everybody. It is September 12th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send that email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. Right there on the homepage, you can submit a relationship question to Dr. Frankie. She's going to be back on the show in just a few weeks to answer your questions on the air, so submit them right there. You can follow us on Twitter. We even started using it a little bit more, so right there on Twitter, follow us. This Show Is So Gay is, of course, our handle. And go to the Facebook. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. We have such a jam-packed show for this week with two new friends we're so excited to welcome. We will start with the first one. Ingrid Elizabeth is one-third of Coyote Grace, one of our favoritest bands out there, and whose music you have heard many, many times right here on This Show Is So Gay. They released Boxes and Bags in 2006, Ear to the Ground in 2009, Buck Naked in 2010, and Now Take Flight in 2011. They boast the distinction of having the highest charting independent album of all time. They've toured everywhere and with everyone, from the Indigo Girls to Girly Man to Melissa Ferrick, and now she is stopping by to chat with us. Ingrid, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thanks, Ken. I'm so glad to be here.
We are so happy to have you. So much to talk about. Are you ready?
I am ready.
We, of course, start with you, as we start with all of our singers, songwriters, musical folks. Tell us, why the medium of music to get your voice across?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I'm actually a performer of many mediums. I grew up as a dancer. I've also been known to do writing and visual art, but music is absolutely just my spirit. It's just, it's definitely a calling, and, you know, I'm so much a believer in the church of music as a listener and as a music maker. And so I think, you know, really for me, music just is my heart. And so it's pretty easy to speak from my heart through the medium of music. And I also just believe, especially in this acoustic genre that I happen to find myself in, you know, I feel like there are all these different voices to speak to. And I think even though, you know, a lot of Americana, bluegrass, roots musicians, they can speak to a very kind of traditional American upbringing and culture. I think that the crossroads that I come from, growing up in a very rural Midwestern area, but then also, you know, being a queer musician, being an out queer musician, and having the experience of also representing that culture as well. I like being that intersection, and I like giving that intersection a voice. I think it's pretty important.
Right there on the Coyote Grace website, it reads that Ingrid Elizabeth was the pink sheep of her small Ohio hometown. Can I inherit that label from you now that I have moved to Ohio?
Yes, you may.
Tell us about growing up in Ohio and being that pink sheep.
Well, you know, I have to say, even though I'm from a pretty small town in southeastern Ohio, so it's the area that's a little more backwoodsy than, you know, the more metropolitan areas, but I grew up with a very, very liberal family. I come from very liberal, you know, women's studies and very intellectual stock. So
nice.
I feel really lucky to come from that kind of family, and very loving and accepting. But it was interesting. I definitely felt different. You know, I felt very different my whole life, and I didn't actually come out until I was in college. But it was kind of one of those things where I was walking around with, like, a rainbow tattooed on my forehead and everyone could see it but me. So it wasn't a big shock to anybody, I'm sure, when I eventually did come out. But yeah, I mean, I think growing up in Ohio instilled a lot of really amazing, heartfelt values in me.
Nice.
That I don't necessarily see in people who grew up in other parts of the country. So I'm very grateful for that very, like, nurturing, sweet, you know, genuine Midwestern values, you know, and I knew that it was a very safe place to grow up. And so I'm grateful for those things and for my family specific values. And I was also very, very grateful to leave and relocate to the West Coast, where I'm surrounded with more various color sheep like myself.
From Ohio to Seattle, Coyote Grace, I'm reading, got their start at the Seattle Pike Place Market. Isn't that where they throw the fish?
That is indeed exactly where they throw the fish. In fact, we started busking, you know, street performing, and that's how we made all the money to pay for our first album called Boxes and Bags. And we actually stood right in front of where they throw the fish. That was our best spot because that's the best place to gather a crowd without clogging the tourist traffic of, you know, the pathways that they go down to the little market there. So, yeah, we smelled raw fish for many hours a day, many days a week, just to make that album.
There are three words right there on the Coyote Grace homepage. Let's get your take on them. We'll take them one by one. First word, sultry.
Yes.
Second word, roots. We love that word.
Yes.
And then third word, threesome.
You got it.
And right there, you got Coyote Grace right there. Pretty darn. Yeah. Now you guys have some rabid gay fans. My hope is you know that.
Yes, I definitely, rabid is the perfect word.
And where would one find the gay friendliness in Coyote Grace, in your music?
Well, you know, I think that there are some of our songs that are a little more transparent or a little more forthcoming with our queerness. And then there are some that kind of have a little bit more of a subtle message that you kind of have to read between the lines and have a little bit more of a universal approach to it. So I think there are some songs like my song called Summertime or
yes,
Girls Like Me.
Love it.
Is definitely one of the gay hits. And I'd say probably of some of the other ones, and that, you know, for those of you who don't know that song, it's kind of about my, you know, coming up in a small town and, you know, still being able to have that kind of queer love, you know, whether people like it or not, you are who you are, and people do eventually accept you and love you, and it's fun. And then I think probably our most out and proud song is Daughter Son.
Well, when they make the VH1 Behind the Music about Coyote Grace, we got Joe, we got Ingrid, we got Michael. What will they say about Ingrid? Will they say that she was like the Stevie Nicks of the group? Where's, you know, your place in that drama?
I think I want to be the Stevie Nicks. Definitely more suited costume-wise than Joe or Michael. But, gosh, I don't know. I mean, they'd probably say she's the one who could never sit still or really keep all of her clothes on stage. That's what I'm guessing.
Now we're more into the mamas and the papas territory, so we'll cover that on another episode. So tell everyone, who are you touring with right now?
Right now, I am touring with Tylan, who is one quarter of the folk pop quartet Girly Man.
Love. And we had Tylan on the show, and we talked a little bit about what it's like touring with a romantic interest of yours. What is it like for you?
Well, I actually have a fairly impressive resume in that department, so I am pretty well seasoned.
That's hilarious.
Joe and I were sweethearts and we toured, and I had dated a musician before Joe who I also traveled with. So I'm actually very, very suited to that. And I know, but I have to say the really wonderful thing about the project that I'm working on with Tylan is that, you know, the love really came first and the relationship came first, and the music is 100% optional. I think in other situations, you know, there was more of a calling to make the music, you know, and we were in love. And in this case, you know, we just know that, you know, the love and the relationship that we have is the foremost thing. And if we want to make music together and it feels good, you know, all the way around, then we'll do it. But if not, then we don't have to do it and everything will still be okay. And that's a really new and really nice thing that I feel about this project. So it's all new and it's all optional and all fun. You know, there's not a lot of pressure at this point for what we're doing. It's all just really experimental and fun.
We asked Tylan when she was on the show, you know, what happens perhaps if, as you're fronting there on the stage, Ingrid plays just the wrong note? What is it that you say to her? And Tylan said it could never happen.
That is the correct answer.
Well, we actually asked Hylan a series of other questions because we decided that we wanted to give you guys a chance to win some prizes. So this is our second week in a row playing our newlywed game with you. And so we actually asked Hylan 6 different questions, and she provided us with the answers just a few minutes before showtime. So we are going to ask you, if you are ready, 6 different questions. If you get 3 right, you start to win This Show Is So Gay magnets, so you could rack up quite a few by the end of this if you get them all right.
Wonderful. I love winning things, even though I'm not competitive.
Well, I also enjoy winning things. I will say, in the history of playing this game on our show, which we've done many, many times over the past 5 years, I would not say that Hylan provided the easiest answers for you to match. I'm just putting that out there.
Well, thank you for that disclaimer.
Ingrid, are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
All right, question number 1. And as always, we remind our listening audiences, these are questions that actually were pulled from the Newlywed Game, the TV show. So let's see how we
do.
That
is awesome.
Question number 1. If you, Ingrid, won the lottery tomorrow, what did Hylan say would be the first thing that you would buy?
Oh. So wait, I'm supposed to guess what Hylan thought I would buy?
You know, we would like to believe in a perfect world that that is also the answer of what you would actually buy, but yes, we have to use the filter of what Hylan said you would buy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or you could trust and just go with what you would actually buy and hopefully it'll match.
Gosh, I would say a trip to Italy.
Sadly, that is not the correct answer. Hylan provided 2 answers. She said either new boots or a vintage car.
Those are also true.
You have so many more chances to win, although probably not with this next one. We asked Hylan, I'm sorry, she provided really difficult answers. We asked Hylan, what cartoon character would you, Ingrid, say that Hylan is most like? I don't even think this is a real cartoon character, just for the record, so just want to put that out there.
Cartoon character that I think she's like?
Yes. I'm going to give you pretty wide latitude with this because you pretty much have no chance of getting it right.
Did I get a hint?
yes, you can get a hint. I would say they were in a movie that came out this year. Also, You have pretty much no chance of getting this right.
In a movie. Gosh.
In fact, a sequel. Ooh.
Gosh, I wish I went to the movies more than I do right about now.
That's okay. I also wish your partner had provided easier answers for you to match.
Batman?
Oh, that was really cute, though. No, the correct answer, apparently, was Pensive Smurf.
Oh! I actually made up that Smurf name for her.
Oh, look at that. You could have gotten that one.
I didn't. Well, the Pensive Smurf is not actually a Smurf, though.
Oh, all right. I'm giving you a quarter point because I'm starting to feel bad. Question number 3. Who did Hylan say is the better driver? Hylan or Ingrid?
Ty.
You're killing me. Hylan said, we're both awesome drivers, but Ingrid has the better sense of direction.
That's true, but that has nothing to do with driving.
All right, well, I'm giving you that one then, because Hylan said we're both awesome drivers.
Yeah, we are both pretty good drivers, but it's true. I think she's a better driver, and I'm definitely a better navigator, which makes us the perfect pair for
Look at that. All right, so I'm giving you, you've 1.25 points. I'm not really sure how, but let's just say that you do. 3 more to go.
Okay.
Question number 4. Other than, we asked this to Hylan, other than Ingrid, who is Tylan's celebrity crush?
P.S. I love that I'm a celebrity.
I thought you'd like that one. Who is Tylan's celebrity crush?
I know there's, like, gosh, I can think of, I would say a couple because.
I'll give you a couple.
Okay, can I guess? I'm going to guess 2.
Okay.
Marilyn Monroe.
No.
And, Christina Hendricks, who's Joni from Mad Men.
That is the correct answer. Very good.
Yes.
I'm here to help. All right, so you have 2.25 points, 2 more questions to go. You get this one right, which, by the way, you have no chance of getting. But the last one I think you can get. But first, if you, Ingrid, were a superhero, what would be your superpower? What did Hylan say?
Oh my gosh. I were a superhero, what would be my superpower?
Maybe I didn't explain the game very well to Thailand. Maybe that's the problem. I'll take responsibility.
So this is what she said I thought my superpower would be?
Which I will say, her first response was, she already is a superhero. So that was kind of sweet. But that's not the answer we're looking for.
She says everything right.
Not the answer we're looking for. And my hope is this is also something that you two have talked about before.
Superpower. Protecting all the butches of the world.
Oh my god, I'm totally giving that to you because Thailand's answer was butch entrancement.
I think it's pretty close.
I think it's way close enough for these answers. So yes, you got that one. You have won a magnet. Here is your chance to win a second magnet. For Thailand's dream vacation, where would she love to spend a week?
Italy.
I'm sorry, the
correct... Hawaii.
No, the correct answer is indeed Hawaii. I would make the worst game show host in the history of game shows, but I'm giving you 4.25 points and you win 2 magnets.
Yay! Thank you. That was so fun. I always wanted to be on the Newlywed Show. I totally loved that show when I was a kid.
I love it. See, I'm a match game person. I still want to do, like, matches, but then you have to, like, somehow factor in making Whoopi into every answer. So it's kind of weird.
Right. Oh, God.
I wasn't going that direction
horrible.
With you guys.
Horrible.
Well, tell everyone where they can follow you, where they can go to learn all about the great things that you are doing.
All right. Well, currently, all of the exciting things I'm doing on the road are with Thailand. So you can go to thailandmusic.com, T-Y-L-A-N, music.com, and you can find out where we're going to be on tour. We're touring all around this fall. We're going to the Northwest, the East Coast, maybe even to Southern California, and maybe even the Midwest. So all of our tour dates will be up there, and we'll be appearing as a dynamic duo in all those places. And otherwise, you can check out music and photo and videos and lyrics of Coyote Grace at coyotegrace.com. We also have a Facebook, and, you know, you mentioned the thing about Twitter, and I'm totally behind the times with Twitter. I know Coyote Grace isn't really Twitter, but we Facebook. And I believe Thailand does Twitter and Facebook because she's that cool.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I think those are probably the best ways to find out what's shaking in my world and... Yeah, so please do. Keep up. Come out to shows. Say hi on all the social medias. And, yeah, hopefully I'll get to see everybody in person sooner or later.
Well, let me tell you, Ingrid, as I've said week after week when we feature your music, I love Coyote Grace. I love the sound that you guys put out there. It is so accessible. It is so authentic. I will tell you that listening to Coyote Grace and Girly Man sing Hallelujah is really and truly transcendent. It's just one of those,
aww.
It's one of those moments that I return to over and over and over again on my iTunes repertoire. And I just love what you guys put out there. I love the authenticity of your lyrics and just your energy. You guys have an incredible energy. Obviously you are a huge part of that, but just my best to the whole band. You're great folks.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate that. And I'm so glad that, you know, the magic of what Coyote Grace does within our band and the really wonderful times we had with Girly Man collaborating. I'm glad that that transcends because it was truly a transcendent experience for all of us as well.
Well, you're going to keep doing what you're doing?
You got it.
Okay. Ingrid, all the best. We will get those magnets out to you.
Yay! Our fridge needs it. We just moved into a new place and our fridge is completely naked, so bring it on.
Well, see, that's why we use our powers of butch and transmit, one and all. Ingrid, all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate it.
Every time I feel this way, this old familiar sinking, I will lay my troth down by the water where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah,
I'm gonna let myself be loved.
Hallelujah.
All All right, folks, and we are back. Another amazing guest that we bring to you right now. Brianna Stockton is a certified personal trainer and a raw food chef. She has a lifelong passion for health, wellness, and fitness. She quickly became a popular raw food chef in Los Angeles, preparing raw cuisine and desserts for private clients and small groups. Soon after that, she began to package her own raw food meals, Pure Raw Love, daily to CBS and for an exclusive list of celebrity clients. She is a featured instructor in the upcoming Telluride WOW, which is Workout Weekend Expo, from September 19th to September 22nd. You are all invited to join her full body jump rope interval circuit class and nutrition lecture. Holy cow, does she have a lot to teach me right now. Brianna, welcome to this show with So Gay.
Thank you so much. And you did some good research. I like it.
Oh, that was easy. That was easy stuff. We have a ton to talk about. First, we should be very upfront with our listeners. Our relationship expert, Dr. Frankie Bashan, said, you must have Brianna on your show. And here you are.
Thank you. And she is amazing. And I'm so thankful that she connected the two of us.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you're so thankful she set you up with someone. Has she done that for you?
No, we have not done that. No, but she's a great friend, and she's amazing at what she does do. And I actually know a lot of the people she has set up.
See, look at that, testimonials that we weren't even looking for. But now it's you. You are here with us. What has led you down this path of being a personal trainer, a raw food chef?
I was an athlete growing up, and my mom is – I was raised by a big hippie, and she was always into nutrition and actually growing her own kombuchas, which are such a fad now to drink. Grew up in San Francisco, and again, an athlete, tomboy, went to college, studied kinesiology to teach physical education to the disabled, and then a friend of mine told me to take a nutrition class and a certification to be a trainer, and I did that. I got a first client, and just changing her habits and her lifestyle and seeing her lose the weight and become so much happier from depression and just from being, you know, this person who was so vulnerable with communication with others and even with her own body was amazing. And it changed my life, and it got me more and more into it. And I studied more, and I did practice and trial and error on my own body, and then, you know, continued to work with more people and clients and just fell in love with the whole idea of just nutrition and fitness and to make it into a better lifestyle for people.
This raw food movement, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's an amazing deal. It's a huge deal. It's definitely coming more about today. You know, raw food's been around forever. It's actually going back to the roots of how we ate. And, you know, a few people are into it, and then it was also, you know, people thought you were so weird that you're eating raw and you're not cooking, you're not eating warm food, and oh my God, it's only sticks of carrots and celery, so they didn't know much about it. Now with the, you know, celiac disease, gluten-free, yeah, and everyone trying to eat healthier, cutting out dairy, soy, and wheat, you know, they're looking more into the raw food, which I'm thankful for.
My assumption is it's more difficult to eat the raw food there in winter when you want your food to be a little bit warmer.
You know, it's funny because when I did eat mostly cooked food, I love my food so hot, like where it almost even burned my mouth.
Yeah.
So I thought that'd be really difficult. And the process of me going raw myself, you know, for 2 years I was raw during the day, cooked at night. So I still had my, you know, hot food. And then I just learned that actually spices and ingredients like cayenne pepper or red chili peppers are actually what warms your body. And now if I even have, you know, my coffee too hot, like it burns my mouth. Or if I do have cooked food here and there, it's pretty funny how I have to have it like lukewarm, maybe hot, semi-hot, but definitely not scorching hot like I used to. And it's not really the hot food that actually warms your body. Again, it's the spices.
I don't know what I would do without my cayenne.
Well, you know, a good trick is sweet potato. You can actually cook sweet potato in so many different ways, and you still are not losing all the nutrients. So in the winter, when I do want something warm or comforting, I will, like, you know, boil a sweet potato and smush it with coconut oil, you know, Himalayan salt, and add in some peppers, or even eat it with, like, a raw ketchup I make.
I don't even know what Himalayan salt is, Brianna.
Well, it's definitely not table salt.
Okay.
It's the pink salt, so it's actually a better salt for you.
It's the gay salt.
It's the gay salt. There you go.
Love it. Well, let's cover the gay piece a bit. So we talk a lot on this show about body image in the LGBT community and it being such a struggle. From your end, what have you been able to see?
Well, I would say not even so much the gay culture. I would say even just the environment of where you live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm born and raised in San Francisco. I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years. And as much as I don't enjoy living in Los Angeles as much, business was great. I mean, everyone there, gay or straight, you know, want to look amazing. Or if you don't have a trainer or a private chef, then there's something wrong with you. Whereas here, you know, coming home, it was a bit harder to build my clientele again because not everyone finds it a priority to be in shape or to eat healthy or to pay for someone to help you do that. Yes, thankfully, you know, I am gay myself and being in the gay community, that most of the gay men, not all, but most, are more into the looking good and, you know, wanting to be healthier. So that's helped me.
Nice.
For sure. And I think that's, you know, again, with our, you know, community and society and now with gay marriage being legal, but before not, it's like it was always a dating game for us. So it's like you want to look good. You want to be the number one or walk into the room and have everyone turn their heads. And whether or not it's because you're, you know, doing it correctly in the healthy way, but, you know, for some reason you look the best athletic-wise.
I would be remiss if I didn't. And we're not a gossip show, Brianna. It's not what we do. It's not what we do.
The gays never do.
Okay, that has occasionally happened, I suppose, maybe on some random Tuesday. But as an avid Bravo watcher, right. I could argue that perhaps I saw you there on an episode of Workout on Bravo.
You absolutely did, yes. I was there.
Do you want to talk about what you were doing there? Or, I mean, it was just the camera was panning left and there you were.
Oh yeah, it just happened to appear in the actual bedroom. No, yes, I was dating Jackie Warner. We were dating before season 3, and then, you know, season 3 came on and we had to film that, and it was definitely an experience, I will say, for sure. A good experience and a bad experience altogether. There is no reality TV, let me tell you that.
It's all scripted.
It's pretty scripted, and it's definitely, they know exactly what they want prior the season and prior each episode, and they will get what they want.
Well, let me tell you, and I will be very upfront with you, and I've never said this on the air in 5 years of the show. I remember watching Workout, and there was one storyline, scripted or unscripted, with one of the gay male trainers who was really struggling with his body image and getting mercilessly made fun of by the fellow trainers for not, you know, being as cut up as the rest of them, when in fact, in just more society at large, he was just in peak physical shape. And it was difficult to watch. And I remember having conversations with some of my friends thinking, okay, this is a little bit tough to handle of what is the body image that we're all going for. And I'm not positive that that show helped me.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, even as someone that was on the show and not even, you know, on the show as a trainer, I was just on the show as the girlfriend, it was very traumatizing for us. And another person that was on the show, season 3, her and I were so, it was almost like we self-sabotaged our lifestyle outside of the show because we were so uncomfortable with the show in the sense of the way that they wanted us to cover certain things or, you know, body image stuff, or some of the characters in the show weren't even trainers. They were actors, or, you know, some of them didn't even work out. They did other supplements. And then the other person and I were on the healthy route and doing it all natural. And then we, again, felt like we had to self-sabotage it because we were so uncomfortable with our surroundings and what was going on and what the viewer was seeing and what they believed.
Yeah.
It was really hard. Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, it was a great show. I mean, I'm not going to put down the show, and I, you know, I wish anyone that still wants our, you know, that was involved the best of luck, and hopefully they're taking their experience and going full force with it. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a show to really boost your confidence, to make you feel good, to give you the tools to live a more active lifestyle. It was a drama show.
Well, you, Brianna Stockton, come well recommended, so we are giving you the chance to make us feel better. And what I was thinking as I was kind of scripting out some questions for you, let's start with how do we even determine what it is that we want our body to look like?
I think it's really on, I mean, basically with my clients, I never even have them bring out a scale, and we never weigh ourselves. We never take before or after pictures. I do recommend if they want on their own to do before and after pictures, but it's about being healthy. And what I say is bring out a pair of jeans that were your favorite pair of jeans or pants, put them up, and just go basically on how you feel, how your clothes fit. And again, whether or not you're waking up dehydrated, waking up tired, whether or not you feel that you can be active throughout the day. And if you feel comfortable in your own body in and out of the shower, it's all about mean healthy. Like, there's so many people that are so skinny, and people think, oh, my God, I wish I had that body. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're skinny fat, which is even worse than obesity, which the insides, they're so unhealthy. And, you know, whether or not they're not eating properly or whether or not they're taking supplements and they just look healthier, they look like they're in shape, they're really not. And then, you know, like I said, better than obesity, you can have someone that's really overweight, but their insides are actually healthier than this person that's so skinny that they can't even have, they don't even have a straight posture.
Right.
You know, so you really just want to feel, you just want to feel good. You want the average body. You want to look athletic. And it's just all about how you carry yourself. And when you are eating, to make sure you're not indigested after, you're not tired after, and it's helping, you're fueling your body. You're eating to fuel your body. You're not eating to comfort yourself or to just try new, you know, fast foods.
Yeah. Because it's not a cliche, that emotional eating, huh?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. I mean, even when you're bored, half the time you're exhausted and you're bored, so you go for food, when really just take a nap, take a 20-minute nap.
Right.
And that'll help you from making these bad decisions. Or, you know, I hate saying this because it's like, I would say, oh, grab a glass of water. And it's easier to say than do. But it's true. Half the time we're dehydrated or exhausted and we go for the bad snacks, the fast food, because we just think we're hungry and we're not.
I must say, I drink more water when I have a straw. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's not bad. It's actually better for your teeth when you drink anything out of a straw. Although, one thing I did just learn, which was disturbing to me.
Honestly, I'm cutting this interview short because I'm not going to like this.
Well, I know. They were saying drinking through a straw puts more wrinkles on your mouth. It ages like which your mouth is also your colon area. Like if you were to break out around near your mouth, that's just showing like your small intestines and your colon, you're probably eating something bad or you're detoxing from it. But yeah, sipping on a straw is almost like smoking a cigarette where you're getting more of the wrinkles in your mouth, which was
I have
disturbing.
Never felt so single in my entire life than this revelation with the wrinkles in the mouth and the straw.
I know, it's horrible. I know. Believe me. But, you know, you should always keep water around you. And actually, the proper way to drink water is not to chug it and make sure you get, like, a gallon a day, which, you know, they say. It's to leave water, like, in all, like, near your computer or near your phone when you're doing your radio show, wherever it is, and just sip on it. It's like we're a plant. Like, you don't want to over-drink because in order for us to actually properly absorb the water, it's just sipping a sip here and there throughout the day.
And don't you have, like, 100 meals a day?
Yes, I have.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, eating raw, you know, I'm eating all day long and I'm eating to fuel my body. So I break it down. I use the energy of it and I want to eat again. And I digest it. It's all about your colon and your digestive system.
I don't like celery and you can't force me to eat it.
I will not force you to eat it. However, okay. If you juice it, it's amazing for you.
Okay.
It's actually one of the number one things that you juice that gives you the most potassium and energy.
Nice.
But, especially when I'm eating fruit or doing like fruit cleanses, I'm eating fruit all day long and it's hydrating myself and I'm getting the actual fiber and it's cleansing myself by like day three. And I know this is pretty personal, but that's how I get. you're like giving yourself your own colonic when you're on fruit.
Please. I'm still stuck on the wrinkles on the mouth. There's nothing you could say. There is nothing you could say at this point.
Okay. Well, this is a good thing for the wrinkles around the mouth. Do a honey mask. A raw honey mask is amazing. Just get, you can get from Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, probably a local store even. Just your raw honey and twice a week, three times a week, put raw honey on your face and even like I do my chest even for 20, 30 minutes and you'll feel it kind of get hardened and then it rinses off in the shower just like water from the sink. And they actually used honey in World War II to kill infection.
I'm overwhelmed by this knowledge.
I love that. Well, it's all
amazing.
Good knowledge.
It's
amazing.
It's
all very simple.
Now, tell us, give us some signs, though, particularly with exercise, that we are perhaps overdoing it.
Oh, well, I mean, even the overdoers of, like, you know, let's do yoga every day and then do a spin class. It's like, don't exhaust yourself and don't – basically, to build muscle, you're tearing muscle to rebuild it. And you want to be active. It's consistency is what you want. So you don't want the days when you're working out 3 hours and then you don't work out again for another 2 days and it's an hour, then another 3 hours. And again, you want rest days. You want your muscles to heal in order to then break them down again rather than break them down, because they're going to be swollen. You're going to retain water. They're swollen. You're never going to let them heal in order to be tighter and then break down again. So what you want to do is just be consistent. Work out, you know, an hour maybe a day, which is more than enough. If not, you know, 30 minutes a day and then take about 2 days off. A great workout, which you can even do just 10 minutes a day, is jump rope.
I do
Sorry,
love
my
jump.
Dog is barking.
It's okay. Your dog is an active dog.
but jump rope, 10 minutes of jump rope is equivalent to a 30-minute run. And jump rope you can do anywhere. You can do in your backyard, parking lot, outside. You can travel with it. It's amazing.
I'm a big jump roper. I enjoy jump roping quite a bit.
Oh, good. And you're using every single muscle. It's a great cardio.
Love it. Love it. Now, talk to us about the relationship, though, between working out and, you know, I think we often talk about the emotional piece and eating, but there's a real emotional piece to working out, too. In particular, one thing that's come up on this show before, those folks who are just working out like crazy because they are single and they feel like, okay, this will help me get somebody else. And that doesn't
Right.
seem to maybe be the best motivation.
Well, I think also when you are single, you have the time.
Right.
So, you know, you want to work out. You're starting to feel good. Yes, you feel like you're going to find someone faster and easier because you're working out. You look at Dodger. You look good. And it helps you. It's for your brain. I mean, it calms you. You get, you know, everything going. So it's great, again, when you're single and with the time. But, no, it's not the best answer in order to get somebody. And I think what the balance is just create a lifestyle for yourself. So when you even do get a partner, it doesn't change so much where then you resent your partner.
Well, let me ask you the most relevant relationship question to this interview at this very point. We
Yes.
asked Dr. Frankie, one of our listeners wrote in and asked Dr. Frankie, what if she has a dog and I have a cat? Will it ever work out? And I was a little bit floored by Dr. Frankie's answer. So someone, as someone who my hope is you actually do have a dog and there's not some weird soundtrack happening in your place right now, what happens if you have a dog and she has a cat?
Well, I have two dogs, actually. And, you know, my dogs actually love cats. And I call it the adult dorms where I live, and we all have animals. And they love cats. And, you know, whether or not the cat is welcoming to dogs, I don't know, but my dogs definitely are great with cats.
I would argue that Dr. Frankie's answer, and maybe I'm not paraphrasing this well, was you should put down the cats.
Now, does Dr. Frankie have dogs or does she have cats?
She said it was a coincidence that also she does not like cats. I don't think that was a coincidence.
Right, right. How funny.
Now, you wrote, I have to tell you, this is just my quote of the day, and let's make it my quote of the week. You wrote this on Facebook, your body is a reflection of your lifestyle. I want to make that more actual.
Well, right now you just said that you love jump rope. That's a great start.
I can do that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what I would do is just – you know, take 10 minutes, which sounds like very little, but honestly, jump rope 10 minutes is very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and if you don't want to do 10 minutes straight, which, again, I don't even care how many times you mess up, or if you go double feet, single feet, whatever it is, it's like riding a bike. You will get back into it, just practice, you know, becomes perfect. 10 minutes, so whether or not you want to do 10 minutes straight, or if you want to do 2 minutes on, 1 minute break, 2 minutes on, 1 minute break, or a minute on, minute off, I would do that. And then, you know, the week after, try doing 12 minutes, try doing 15 minutes. Choose the stairs rather than, you know, the elevator, or choose, you know, parking maybe 2 blocks away from the restaurant than doing valet. I mean, also what I do, I post on Facebook, is I post challenge workouts. And I just posted one the other day. I don't know if you saw it. But
oh, I saw it. That's not happening.
That is, well, where do you live?
I'm in Cleveland, and I worry.
Well, lucky you, because I was about to say, well, we're going to meet next week, and I'm going to train you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, and I really am one of those people where I forget to take a couple days off, and I think that it really does screw me up quite a bit.
Absolutely. And not only does it screw you up, you know, physically, mentally, it screws you up.
Yeah.
You need that time to break. And, you know, it's funny, because sometimes when people do have a day off, just spontaneously or planned or not planned, it's, you know, it's hard for them, and they feel like they're a failure, or, oh, they didn't work out hard enough, or they got to work out harder the next day. But no, by taking a day off is actually part of your schedule. You
right.
need to put it in there. You need the rest.
I just started swimming again. Gosh, that's
great.
That's harder than I remember.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Holy cow.
What also is really hard in swimming is not even swimming laps, but from one end of the pool to the next, just run. Run in the water, and it sounds crazy, and it will take you longer to get to the, you know, other end of the pool, but it's such a great workout.
Particularly on the deep end, I agree. Yes. I agree.
And then, you know, like treading with just arms, crossing your legs, or treading with just legs and crossing your arms, or holding your arms above the water is a great one. And then also jumping from the floor up. And as you get towards the deep end, you know, it's taking longer to go down, and you have to push more with your legs to get up. And then, and that also takes long to get from one end to the other.
My gosh.
So play games in the pool.
Play games in the pool. And my other big thing is that I really do think that everybody has that one physical activity that they feel particularly alive, and they don't do it often enough. Like I grew up on the tennis court. I'm an avid tennis player. It's kind of a big deal. But then I go three or four weeks without playing, and once I get back out there, I'm thinking, why did I stop doing this?
Yeah. Well, I think it's also just time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't put enough time aside for the things we love and the healthy activity stuff. And, you know, sometimes you think, oh, that's a luxury. But it's not really a luxury. It's a lifestyle. And it's something that makes you happy. So that shouldn't be considered a luxury. It should be considered a priority.
Now, you are not our relationship expert. That's Dr. Frankie. And we don't want to take
that. That is very true.
We don't want to take that title away. But what about broaching that conversation with either an established partner or a potential partner? If you're feeling like, okay, I would like this person to be more fit, to be more active, how would you approach that?
That's a hard one. I mean, I do think, and I get that actually a lot. I mean, some people always feel like even, you know, approaching me or meeting me, they're like, oh, well, I can't date you because I don't even have a gym membership, or I don't do this, I don't do that. And, you know, activity and being active and being healthy, there's all different ways, and there's no right way. I can't say if you don't have a gym membership or you're not working out in the gym, you're not active, you're not healthy. That's not the case.
Right.
But no, do I need to have a partner, or would I be more attracted to, or would I like to help someone, you know, change habits in their life to be more active? Absolutely. And whether that means, you know, going on runs or playing tennis or, you know, just eating healthy. It's 90% nutrition, 10%, you know, working out. Whatever the case is, even going on a hike or a dog walk, there's something, I need to have activity.
Yeah.
And I do want them to be, I mean, not only just be fit for their own look, just for their health.
Yeah.
You know, and you want someone that can keep up with you, and you want someone that feels good and feels happy.
Yeah. I saw the workout you posted. We're never going to date for so many reasons. So many reasons. Where can folks go to follow you and learn about all the cool things that you're doing?
My website, for sure, www.briannastockton.com, which I'm actually revamping it. And next week you'll have some more options and resources with some blogs and videos of recipes and workouts, which will be great. And actual purchase stuff for workouts and online training. And then I have a Facebook page, Brianna Stockton, personal trainer, raw chef, which I post some things as well. And that also connects to my blog on my website.
Which you are an active blogger, which I appreciate.
I'm trying to be better, so thank you for saying that. I'm definitely trying to be better, and I will get better and better at that. I do need to get better on Twitter. I'm not very good at
technology. Yeah, we all do. Well, look, you came very highly recommended. You far surpassed that recommendation. I'm going to eat. I will put celery in a juice. I will try that.
You really should.
And you look, I'm a vegetarian, so it's
I like that.
Not a big stretch for me. But I don't know. It's so stringy. So maybe if I juice it, it'll be better.
Yeah, if you juice it, you'll get all the potassium. And actually, it's very it can replace salt stuff, like if you're doing a broth or if you're doing a dressing or in the juice. Even so,
it's
really good, and yes, you won't have the stringiness of it.
Where am I going for my first training session?
You're coming to me. No, you're gonna.
That's
go
what
right
I meant. I'm gonna visit you in San Francisco. Is it San Francisco? Is that where you are?
I am in the East Bay. I'm in Oakland, but I work in San. I work in all the Bay Area.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well,
but,
next.
Oh my God! Absolutely. If you do come here, please contact me, and I will definitely train you.
Next summer, when I am out there for the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride, we're gonna do a training session.
I would love that.
Awesome.
I would love that.
Brianna, what an absolute treat having you on the show. Quite frankly, this is not an exaggeration. You are prolonging lives, and you are making them more fulfilled. And there's really no other compliment we can give you, because you are doing that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. I love it. I honestly love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Brianna, all the best. Thanks so much for being on the
thank
show.
Thank you so much, too.
What?
right, folks, and we are back. Well, we actually left in the sounds of Brianna's dog, Dodger, because there were parts of that conversation that I didn't want to cut out, and I thought the barking was kind of cute, although maybe not what you might hear on an NPR interview or something like that. We actually have time this week to cover some gay news, some LGBT news and views, or LGBT news and my views, and I am flying solo. I am still looking for a Cleveland co-host that I click with whom I click. I miss Jody, and Jody and I were thinking about doing something on the phone, and I might call her to do the news, but it's not the same as being in the same place at the same time. So if you are living in Cleveland and you have a radio voice, whatever that means, or you just have an interest in going off on the news, whatever it may be, send me an email at ken@thisshowisogay.com. If you know someone in the Cleveland area and you think they'd be good to just talk news and views, let me know. Send me an email, and I would love that. We're also taking guest ideas right now, where we had months and months booked, and we're coming to the end of all of our bookings, so I got to start up again and get all new guests. So if you have guest ideas, you can either send me an email, ken@thisshowisogay.com, or you can go on Facebook, and you can just go to our Facebook page. Just type in "The Show Is So Gay," and you can post things right on our wall there. I will provide you with a prompt probably in the next couple days, asking people who they want to hear. So let me know. Who do you want to hear? Love having people on the show who I've never heard of. That's like one of my favorite things to do. I mean, obviously, I love talking to some of these heroes of mine. And again, I'm still so appreciative every week, every single episode, 5 years after starting this darn thing. I cannot believe the people that I get to talk to. But I also love, in addition to talking to some of my heroes, I love talking to people who I had never heard of before, who are doing cool things. And maybe they're local and they're just making a difference locally. The whole premise of the show, people who are using their voice to make a difference for the LGBT community and ally community. So whoever they may be, refer me to them. They don't have to be some big name. Someone, every time I put a post up on Facebook and say, who should we have on the show? You should have Ellen. Yeah, sure. I would love to have Ellen. Unless something really changes with the show, I'm probably never going to have Ellen. But I also want to have folks that I have not heard of who are doing cool things. So let me know. Send me that email and we will work on booking them. Onto the LGBT news. There is just the coolest picture right now on Reddit that you can go look up. It's of a gay Marine, and his name was not disclosed, but you can easily find it. Just type in "gay Marine receives rainbow flag." And so this is a gay Marine who, he got a rainbow flag on his last day of service, and on the flag were the words "served with pride" stitched right onto the Marine Corps logo. The rainbow flag was a parting gift from the soldier's unit. The photo was posted with the following description, quote, "Today's my unofficial last day as a Marine. This is what my unit gave me to say goodbye." It's just an awesome picture, and you gotta love the whole, I feel like such a cliche saying this, you gotta love the whole "a picture is worth a thousand words," and it totally is on our progress in the military. And I was kind of thinking about this picture earlier, and it just underscored for me that I get so frustrated when all the various pundits, most of whom have never served a day in the military, are talking about, well, this is how being out and gay would affect a unit, and the only people who really know are the units. And certainly there are some pundits out there who have done their research and who have served in particular. But people like me, you never hear me going off that much on gays in the military because I just don't know that culture. So it was just lovely to see this picture posted. Really big deal. In comings out, we haven't had much time for LGBT news in the past couple weeks, so we didn't talk about some of the notable coming out. One of them was Wentworth Miller, who I used to watch all the time on Prison Break. And so he came out as a gay man last month because he was rejecting an invitation to a Russian film festival. And in that letter, which he released, he came out and just said, no way, I'm not going to Russia. I'm gay. This is not a safe place for me. And he was at a human rights campaign dinner in Seattle this past weekend, and he revealed that he had struggled for years before he accepted his sexuality, even attempting suicide at the age of 15. This is what he said, quote, "I waited until my family went away for the weekend, and I was alone in the house, and I swallowed a bottle of pills, I don't remember what happened over the next couple of days, but I'm pretty sure come Monday morning, I was on a bus back to school pretending everything was fine. And when someone asked me if that was a cry for help, I say no, because I told no one. Growing up, I was a target, speaking the right way, standing the right way, holding your wrist the right way. Every day was a test, and there were 1,000 ways to fail, 1,000 ways to portray yourself, to not live up to someone else's standards of what was accepted. An unbelievable speech that you can check out on the HRC website, but God, yeah, I love bravery. I love when people are not just coming out and saying I'm gay, but that they're also telling their story. And I am one of those people who believes, yes, the more that people come out, the better this world will be for the LGBT community. That is not to say that I subscribe to the piece where people are outed. I don't like that. I don't like the outing. I know we talked about it maybe a month and a half ago, right before the last show of Vermont, with Steve and Jen and Jody and Margaret Cho's outing of John Travolta. And I'm not so much into the outing, but I will say that if you have the support, and that includes financial support and emotional support and all the support that you need to come out, I really, you got to do it for your own reasons. It's the only reason to do it. But that said, it really will make this world a better place for the LGBT community. I'm just putting that out there. And again, it's not to put pressure on you to come out. And I know that, God, we get these incredible emails. Can I just say that, again, 5 years later, I'm still in awe that people write us and listen. I'm in awe that people are listening to the show and they listen in and they write in and say, I'm not out, and your show provides that outlet. And I have no words to describe that. It's beyond my dreams of what we wanted to do when we started the show. That said, I know this is an outlet, the show is an outlet, and other LGBT media are an outlet for various folks who are still in the closet, and we're happy to be that. And my gosh, do I wish to you that you somehow get that support that you need, emotional, and don't leave off the financial, because if you are financially dependent on parents, on family members, and you think that your coming out would jeopardize that, no, it might not be the right time to come out. So appreciative of those emails, and we wish you all the support. Wish you all the support. I covered on last week's show the horrendous anti-gay hate crime attack here in Cleveland, right there at the Bar Cocktails, which again is about a minute and a half from where I am sitting right this very second. And it seems to be continuing, the latest in what appears to be a disturbing spate of alleged hate crimes targeting this Cleveland gay community has now been caught on tape. Fox 8 reported that a 13-year-old boy was arrested in connection with the September 6th attack that we covered last week, 13 years old. Surveillance footage showed a group of teenagers began throwing rocks at the bar's patrons who were enjoying a rooftop patio while shouting a series of anti-gay slurs. So I was just there. I was at Cocktails on Friday night. I went with a group of friends. It's a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It's a little weird being there, just because it's like, oh, there was this hate crime right outside the other day. And then you had this other one where this 13-year-old was arrested and they're trying to figure out if he was connected to the other hate crime because they were throwing rocks at the patrons. That didn't happen to me. I wasn't there when that happened, because people are gay. That's what they're doing. And I've had a lot of conversations over the past week about this bar, and it's in a rough neighborhood. Is it in a rough neighborhood, and what more can the bar do? I'm sorry. These are 13-year-olds who are throwing rocks at people just eating and drinking at a gay bar. It's crazy. 13. The bar's patrons and employees have vowed to fight back. Employee James Foster told 19 Action News, quote, "We just need some attention here. It's becoming belligerent not only to us but to the community as well." So that's going on right here in Ohio. North Carolina, this is a hilarious story. The Republican leader of the North Carolina State Senate appointed someone to the Board of Trustees for the University of North Carolina's public television affiliate. Who did they appoint, you ask? I will tell you. They appointed Orson Scott Card. Orson Scott Card, the author of Ender's Game, who we have talked about on this show because we featured our friends and our buddies and our allies and those change agents themselves from Geeks Out, and we love them. And they have their whole Boycott Ender's Game, Skip Ender's Game campaign, because Orson Scott Card, who wrote the books for Ender's Game that now became the movie, is just unbelievably anti-gay. He once served on the board of the Anti-Gay National Organization for Marriage. His views on gays have prompted calls for the boycott. He's been in the spotlight recently because he compared President Obama to Hitler and Stalin. And so you're asking yourself, how was Orson Scott Card appointed to the Board of Trustees for the University of North Carolina's public television affiliate? Well, that's because some Republicans are so anti-public television, and their theory was that if we appoint Orson Scott Card, it will help get rid of the funding for public television. I will tell you right now, by the way, this is where I have a really difficult time separating out real life from the West Wing. I somehow fell back into watching the West Wing, which is quite frankly the last thing that I have time for, but I've been watching it and I'm on an episode right now where there's this whole debate about public television and about PBS, and I have to remind myself that that's not the real world. I have a really difficult time with that sometimes. It's a little bit embarrassing. Just put that out there. There is a new lawsuit, a lawsuit filed by a mother in South Carolina, going to the other Carolina, alleges that a teacher in South Carolina's Charleston County School District bullied a gay student to the point at which he attempted suicide. Unbelievable. The suit says that the school's district failed to adequately put an end or prevent the teacher's actions. According to the court filings, the West Ashley High School math teacher is not named as a defendant, but his name fills the pages in the filing, alleging during the spring he called the plaintiff gay in front of other students on a daily basis. The student's attorney said the 16-year-old student is still undergoing treatment and has withdrawn from the school to be homeschooled. The student was called gay, gay boy, Mrs. Pete, and Mrs. Peter, according to the lawsuit. God, isn't this crazy? The suit alleges the teacher also encouraged other members of the class to pick on and belittle the plaintiff. The student reportedly felt like he could not report the bullying to school administrators and, quote, could not appeal to any of his classmates due to the alienation and isolation. The bullying got so bad that the student tried to take his own life by hanging. Ay, ay, ay. That's what the suit alleges. The lawsuit seeks damages and a jury trial. This is in South Carolina, Charleston County School District. That's a public school district. Not that I necessarily want to make the distinction between public and private, although we do have these assumptions sometimes. It must be a private faith-based school. It's not. It's a public school. And can I just say, I don't want to fault anyone. I mean, I want to fault the school district. I want to fault the teacher. But if I am kind of going down that road of faulting people, and I guess I just started that by it coming out of my mouth, what is going on with the other kids in the class? Why aren't we doing a good enough job to empower kids to take a stand? And again, there's a power dynamic here, and I get that. I'm a professor. I know the power dynamic between teacher and students, and the power is found more in favor of the teacher because that is the way that works. But at the same time, with all these kids in the class, you kind of wanted someone to say something to their parents, and then some parents stepping forward, and it just didn't come to the point where something like this had to happen. So we will, of course, keep our eyes on that story. So that's everything going on. Hey, we had some time for some gay news. Love it. Love it. Our thanks to Ingrid of Coyote Grace. Love her. Congratulations on winning the prizes. And Brianna Stockton, she's going to make us healthier. You guys, thanks to you, get out there. You go do some incredible things. Again, guest suggestions, send me an email, kenneth@theshowisogay.com. Get out there, do some fun, fun things, because it should be fun too, sometimes creating change, but whatever it is that you can do to make a difference, to raise up the voices of your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters, because some of them could really use a hand, do what it is that you do best. And while you're out there doing it, creating some change, raising a ruckus, we love some good trouble, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Mrs. Jones.